time is valuable. That's why Lowe's Blueprint Takeoffs turn blueprints into quotes faster. Bring us your plans, and we'll generate itemized material lists to make quoting easier so you can get back to building. Plus, at the Lowe's Pro Desk, you get access to thousands of building materials not sold in store. And when your order's ready, we'll deliver everything to the job site. Improving is easy at Lowe's.
I have Santa's head on a pike, and that can mean only one thing. It's the year-end show for Politics is Broken.
Dun, dun, dun.
Do we have the rights to use that music?
I don't know, but I don't think we have the right to put Santa on a pike.
He knows what he did.
He's been naughty.
Welcome to Politics is Broken with Brittle Starr and Lisa B. Canadian and global politics unspun. Are you sitting comfortably? Good. Then we'll begin.
That was a good pause. That was good. Hey, everyone. Welcome to Politics is Broken. My name is Brittle Starr.
My name is Lisa. Hello, everybody.
And this is going to be our year-end wrap-up that we try to make sense of 2025. And we are calling it a name coined by you, Lisa. Did you want to announce the name of the episode?
Well, you know, to be festive and be in the holiday spirit, it's the 12 days of Christmas.
Well, that's a little, we can't use it a title exactly. We're going to expand that out a little bit from there to from the 12 days to 12 months. The 12 months of Christmas.
The 12 events of Christmas, yeah. Yes.
So we're going to talk about some of the news, political news stories from each of the months. And this is not, as I said to Lisa before we started recording, keeping in mind that I do the research for this. So this is not an exhaustive list. This might not even be a good list, to be honest. So adjust your expectations accordingly.
Well, I think people can feel free if we've missed anything to add those in the comments so that, you know, we do a better job.
Oh, they will.
Year. Oh, I know.
You didn't go to our YouTube comments, did you?
No, I haven't seen them.
Oh, there was like 30 plus comments on last week's episode.
Okay, I'll go.
That's a lot.
That is a lot.
Yeah, make sure you're in a good frame of mind. I haven't read them myself too closely. But I always worry about when you read comments, it's like, oh, this is a nice comment. Oh, they liked my hair. Oh, they think I should die. Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, no. I get bad comments all the time. Nothing.
Do you?
Me. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Can I read one? Let me just find
it. Oh, I wish you would. As a little Christmas treat. This is like one of those, you could have like a girlfriend and they'd open their Christmas presents on Christmas Eve.
This is like one that I've kept. Usually I delete them, but I kept it because I thought maybe I'd use it at some point, but let's just do it now. Just put musical interlude here while I look it up. Oh, here we go. Now, this was on a video I did of just like saying, like, it was sort of like a self-care video, like how everything is overwhelming and, you know, you need to like just take a break sometimes and that's okay. Do the world a favor. You know, it's going to be good.
It's a hot start.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a hot start.
Colon. Start a gasoline car in a closed garage. There you go. That much less garbage. Happy holidays, everybody.
I do like how they, and I'm going to guess it was a he, but it might not have been.
It's a he. Good guess.
I do like how he included the very specific instruction, just in case you were gone all lefty liberal and had an electric car. So you couldn't come back with a, oh, I drive an electric vehicle.
That's right.
Yeah, so he covered that.
Oh, yeah.
So if you do drive an electric vehicle, you'd have to go out and find a gas-powered vehicle.
Bring it to my garage.
To your garage.
Turn it on, yeah. Yeah, so creative. I give him points for creativity.
People are so nice.
I love it. Yeah.
You know what? The human race is going to be okay.
We've got each other's back. For sure.
We really do.
For sure.
It's a supportive race.
Yeah.
Species of
species
people.
Right, yeah. Some should go extinct, but you know, whatever.
People are terrible. Well, I think that person should get coal for their goddamn gas-powered car.
Well, I'm in Alberta, so maybe we'll have coal mines at some point.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Where coal mines worked out great for Pennsylvania, it'll be fine for Alberta. Mm-hmm. It'll be totally fine.
Absolutely.
Shall we get into the 12 months of Christmas in Canada?
I'm excited. Let's do it.
Okay, so this is January 2025. We'll start there. There's a leadership vacuum, which was interesting because it was a bit exciting at the beginning of the year when Justin Trudeau stepped aside It was not totally unexpected because things weren't going that great for Justin at that time.
Mm-hmm.
The Katy Perry was but a twinkle in his teenage jeans.
There were no fireworks.
There were no fireworks. Nothing had yet roared.
Yes, right.
But it was. Were you surprised when he stepped down?
I was. Mm-hmm. I was surprised just because I thought, man, you've been through a lot, right?
Yeah.
And it was the news that we were all expecting, but it still came as a bit of a shock. But yeah, it just as a starter, how was that a year ago? It feels both like it was 5 years ago.
I know.
And last month.
There's a bit of a weird time warp that's happened in the past year, I think, because of just politically what's happened in Canada and politically what's happened in Canada as a result of what's happened in the U.S. Mm-hmm. It seems like it's been forever, but also just happened yesterday, like you said.
Right.
It's inertia inducing.
It's something. I was surprised and I was pleased that, you know, he had the insight to say, okay, you know what, enough is enough.
Yeah,
I'm not going to be able to turn anything around, so it's time for me to go. But there was worry. Like, I was still worried what was going to happen next.
Well, it seemed like the issue at the time became much more of people just tired of Justin Trudeau. I think in that foolish way that, you know, as we've said many times and many people have said before, people don't vote for the same. They vote for change.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that just speaks to the flaws in democracy, to be honest. Because it became much more about him as opposed to any policies and all that kind of stuff. I felt at the time anyway.
It had been about him for quite some time. I mean, to be fair, when he was elected, it was about him.
Yeah.
Right? Because he was the new young guy and fresh start and not, I don't think, so much about policy. Because we didn't know about the weed at that point, I don't think. And then, you know, as things progressed, he had a little bit of a downtime.
Yeah.
Like I feel like, you know, 2016-ish was good for him. Nothing really happened.
Yeah.
But anything else that came up, it was always about Justin and who he is and where he came from and what he's done in his past. So.
Yeah, he's a very strong character, for sure. Very strong personality. I do want to go and make one correction, though, because I did say this was before Katy Perry was even a twinkle in his teenage jeans. And I meant to say teenage dreams. But I feel the sentiment is the same and possibly funnier with the word jeans.
I feel like didn't she have a song with jeans in it?
You make me, well, I'm living a teenage jeans. No, it's teenage dreams.
You're not going to be invited to their wedding.
No, I'm not. That's evident. I'm not going to be invited to their wedding. Well, things moved quickly from then. I mean, lots of stuff was happening, but we move on to February. I'm going to say February, apart from the fact that my youngest son's birthday is in February,
mm-hmm.
there are very few things to look forward to in February.
It's the month of love.
Don't get suckered in by those Hallmark holidays.
Yeah, right.
Capitalist
holidays.
But it's I think generally everywhere except for goddamn Vancouver, it's a crappy weather month.
Oh, it's bad.
It's horrible everywhere. Doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter if you're across the Atlantic or whatever. In the world in general, February is not an ideal time in the year.
That's when your credit card bills come in, right? End of January.
Oh, God. Don't even remind me. Anyway, well, as a little bit of a bright spot this past February, in Ontario, the Progressive Conservatives won a third majority under Doug Ford.
Yay. We were so sure that wasn't going to happen.
We were so positive. And it was a real lesson, I believe, when the Conservatives won that third majority under Doug Ford. It was a real wake-up call to the notion that life online isn't always truly reflective of what life is like offline.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm a big believer in the fact that social media and stuff is very much a pretty important player in how everyone sees the world currently. However, this was a really good example of like when that's not necessarily true. Because all you heard was people complaining about Doug Ford forever. Like, there's he's terrible, he's horrible, he had the Greenbelt scandal and all that kind of stuff, and it was just sort of, you know, we got to get this guy out, we got to get this guy out. I blame the result of that election squarely on the fact that I did a video with Bonnie Crombie for the Ontario Liberals.
I was going to bring that up. I know it's a little sensitive, but I was going to be like, wasn't there?
No, I have to own it. I have to own it. I think I referred to myself at the time as ballot box poison. And I think that's accurate. So I think let that be a warning to any other political parties out there who come a courting. You can give me your money. Gosh, I'll take it. But I will sewer your chances.
No promises of an outcome. No promises.
Exactly. But yeah, there really was no, I mean, I like Bonnie. Bonnie was fine and she was very nice to me and all that kind of stuff. But I felt that the Ontario Liberals and the Ontario NDP did not do enough to get ahead of that election before it came. Like I think the Ford was really wise in calling it really quickly.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, these guys are a mess right now. The opponents are a mess. I've got no competition.
He's charismatic. Like,
yeah.
Again, he's drunk uncle, right? Like, he's just the guy that, you know, at a party that's, you know, going to make all the jokes and be inappropriate and hug you too long. But people like that, apparently, right? I don't know.
It's nice to be touched.
It's right. Because both right before the election and then right after the election, people were still complaining about him. So, you know, maybe people don't vote for change.
I think I'm going to save this for a reflection at the end, but I'm also going to say it now. So I'll say it twice.
Okay.
And that I feel that 2025 was the year that it was the year of FAFO. I think it was the year of people realizing they have a responsibility in the political system to learn as much as they can and to act on that by voting.
And be involved. I think
everyone was like really upset with Doug Ford online. And then when he won the majority, everyone was like, oh my God, I guess I should have voted. Morons. We get the government we deserve sometimes, don't we? Do you know what I mean?
That hurts.
I know. Exactly.
For me, it hurts. Yeah.
Let's move on to March of 2025. Mm-hmm. This is like a little bit of our own version of a Christmas carol too. I'm the ghost of Christmas political past. We should get Jean Chrétien to read this.
Oh my God.
Wouldn't that be good?
Oh, just with a table, with a tree. Yeah,
it's too close to Christmas now. He's never going to do it now.
He's having it.
But if you're listening, Monsieur Chrétien.
Bonjour.
Well, that's it. He's gone now. In March of 2025, Mark Carney became the Liberal leader and was sworn in as Prime Minister. So as some would say, it was a technocratic pivot, which was interesting. And I remember telling my brother-in-law in the UK, who lives in London, he was like, I see you've gone for a technocrat instead. And I had to look that up. I didn't know what that meant.
Fancy.
I know. I even now I'm thinking, I think I kind of know what that means. I don't really know what it means. But I think the idea is being very pragmatic, less ideologically based, more transactional.
The opposite of Trudeau.
The opposite of Trudeau. Who was very much, and I think I really liked Trudeau's style of ideology of like, let's, let's virtue signal all the right ways.
Right.
As Ed the Sox said, you know, people complain about virtue signaling, but it's way better than asshole signaling. So credit to Ed the Sock for saying
Ready
that.
Ready to go, Ed the Sock. Yep.
I was at the time, I felt that was entirely the right move.
Well, I mean, I think it was one of the least surprising things to happen. Like, I think we all knew that was coming. My favorite part of that whole situation was how mad the alt-conservatives got that.
Yeah.
He just got to be prime minister. Like, he just swayed in and
walked in.
Right? He's not even elected. Like, they were so mad. So that brought me a little joy, a little comfort
in
the moment.
Just came to the doors of the House of Commons and said, table for one. And they said, right this way, sir. I just sat him down right up front. We got a spot to reserve you up front.
Right in the middle up front,
But there was a time during that period when, before it was confirmed that he was going to be Liberal leader, and I remember thinking, all the signs were pointing to, like, I remember Justin Trudeau had brought him on as an advisor. And I remember at the time talking on the show, but saying, I don't think this guy gets on any sinking ships. Because at the time, it looked like the Liberals were a lost cause. They were miles behind in the polls. And Polyev's Conservatives were way, 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 way ahead, like just as steamrolling every other party.
Weren't they in third at some point?
Yes. Yes.
Like, yeah. Like the Bloc had more than...
But I remember I remember saying at the time that Carney doesn't get on sinking ships. Like he's, even though you probably count Brexit as a sinking ship, but he did his best to minimize that damage,
yeah,
I guess.
He didn't push that. Yeah.
But it turns out that was accurate, that he knew what he was doing. He knew he was the right guy for the moment, I think, as well.
Well, I don't think anybody really, regardless of what position or career, if you have, you're not going to jeopardize. Right? Yourself?
Yeah.
You're not going to jeopardize your potential future by doing something that you're not confident in. So I don't think it was a flippant decision on his part to do what he needed to do, or else we'd be in a very different situation right now.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. April was a bit of a quieter month, apart from the fact that federal election was called. Which they had to call. I think that was just kind of a, they would have been dogged by, you just walked into that position. So that would have been the focus. And it wasn't the time to do that. So they had to have an election. And it also felt, I remember at the time they called an election, I was like, all we do is have elections. I think about people in California and how they vote on every single proposition and bill. And it's like, people are too stupid and too busy to do, and or too busy to do that kind of voting. Decision making. And I felt at the time in February, April, I was thinking to myself, well, this is, God, all we do is elections these days.
It feels like it.
Right.
Because, well, I mean, we have municipal and provincial and federal, and it just seems like everything was coming to a head at that point in time, right? Everyone needed to reconfigure what they were doing. So, it feels like we do a lot of box ticking.
So the election main issues, of course, were affordability. Housing and potential U.S. risk, which was becoming more and more evident as Trump made his 51st state comments and such. It was a case of like, it felt like a real, it's been, Trump has been referred to as Canada's best gift because it became a real nation building mentality.
Well, yeah. I mean, and some of the things that he said about, you know, Pierre, I think did not help Pierre's cause in the election.
Can you imagine if someone hired me and Trump to do a political ad for them? If I was an ops research, as they call it, as an ops research, people who are trying to find dirt on other candidates
and sync their
campaigns. Yeah. What I would do is I'd immediately just write a big fat check to me and Trump, and we'd make a video, a buddy video, for whoever they want.
But right, without their consent, that's supposed to be a Trump thing to do. So okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, next election, think about that.
Think about that. I don't know if I'm willing to work with Trump, though. I feel I wouldn't get paid. So I feel like he'd be like, I'll take the money, and then I'd never see the money again.
Yeah, like you'd get ghosted in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Trump and HBC, same deal. Just speaking from personal experience there.
There you go. No.
Moving on to May of 2025.
Spring.
Spring. Mm-hmm. Daffodils.
Mm-hmm.
Tulips.
Mm-hmm.
The smell of earthy, the earthy rebirth.
I'm just going to let you go with that one.
The smell of earthy rebirth,
which
we all comment on in May.
Mm-hmm.
God, it smells like earthy rebirth out here, doesn't it?
I've heard that 1,000 times in my life.
It's an old saying. Of course, the Liberals won the Liberals won the minority government with Prime Minister Carney taking office. So there was lots of, it felt like a little too close for comfort, but at the same time, they did fine. They came within a few seats of a majority. And I think most people in general, when the opposition is sane, I think most people like a minority government.
Yeah. I think a minority government, I mean, it sort of works in Canada because we have multiple parties, right?
Yeah.
And so I think a minority government tends to generally get more done.
Yeah.
Not with this opposition, however, because they try to literally oppose every single thing and draw it out so that things don't get passed, even the things that they would have initiated. But that's, you know, I'm sure later in the year. I'm sure many Canadians were up very late watching the little numbers go, right? And seeing, and the Conservatives came out early, right? And I thought, oh, crap. But as the night went on, I was pleasantly surprised. I was worried. Like, I was worried that night.
I was worried, too. And I remember being so stressed out about Bruce Fanjoy running against Pierre Poilievre in Ottawa-Carlton. And going to sleep exhausted, but not knowing the results yet, because the results weren't known until middle of the night. And waking up, and it was like waking up from a dream with Shannon waking me up going, he won. He did it. Fanjoy won. It's like, what? Wiping the sleep from
just all sleepy eyed. What?
It's so bright out today and sunshiny. It was absolutely delicious.
It was so good. It was an earthy rebirth for Carlton.
It was. And we're going to try to make that new saying stick. It was, though. It really, Bruce Fanjoy had campaigned for about 2 years, you know, just sort of going out and meeting people. I say campaigning, but he was actually just door knocking and saying a lot of people and saying, hey, I'm the representative for the Liberals.
He wasn't coming out of trailers on the side of highways.
Wasn't coming out looking a little sketch out of trailers, out of sketch trailers. And he also wasn't smug. He wasn't like, I'm going to destroy this guy. He was like, I think I'm going to win. I'm going to put in the effort. I'm going to put in the legwork, literally. I think I met him in September at Politics in the Pen, and I remember talking to him about it, and he said he went through 2 or 3 pairs of shoes, I think, over the course of the two years.
Yeah.
And I said, how was it? You know, it must have been pretty great. And he's very diplomatic.
Sure.
And he kind of looked off into the distance and looked away from me, and he went, looked back and said, yeah, it was pretty great.
That's pretty cool.
Because you know that if he would have lost, Poilievre would have been not a good sport about it. He would have been horrible about it. He would have mocked him.
Do you think?
Yes.
I don't think Pierre would have even acknowledged it.
I do.
Because I think he believes that it, of course this is how it is. Nobody else matters, right?
Like, yeah, I can see that.
But that's why it was so delicious, because seemingly for anyone, like, certainly in the West, we're like, who the hell is Bruce Fanjoy? This phoenix rising and then just sort of demolished Poilievre. That was chef's kiss, Bruce.
By about 5,000 votes, which is a big chunk. Mm-hmm. And I remember driving through that riding before the election and seeing all the election signs for the different parties and stuff. And Poilievre's signs were everywhere. Like, I saw maybe for every one sign of Fanjoy's, I saw about 4 or 5 of Poilievre's. So it was really, it was like a little Christmas miracle in May. It was phenomenal. And I felt it wasn't even a case of, for me, and I think this is the big distinction for me, is that a lot of people will say, oh, it's because you're just a Liberal supporter. You're a Liberal supporter. It's like, no, I'm just not an asshole supporter. Like, I can't stand people who are pricks. And I feel, as Robert Fife said, some people think Poilievre is a bit of a dick.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I felt like this guy, I don't think he necessarily merits being in that seat in Ottawa-Carlton.
It's funny to me because, you know, everyone talking about Trudeau and, you know, it's 10 years of Trudeau and stuff. But like 21 years of Poilievre and nothing positive.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I shouldn't talk. There's a smugness. I mean, my smugness is cute. But there's an arrogance.
What did that guy tell you to do with your car?
Right,
your gas-powered car?
My gas-powered car. But there's an unlikability about Pierre. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's why it was so great to just know that not only did his party not win and they were not successful, but he as leader in his own riding was not successful. Mwah.
It was phenomenal. It was absolutely phenomenal. But it was, like I said, it was less about, to me, it was less about party lines and more about the idea of like, I don't necessarily like this guy that much.
And I think people of his writing were like, yeah, this is not the guy for us. And that's fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a good thing that he's taken some time to reflect and has made changes to ensure his success in the future.
For one successful press gallery meeting and then just recently saying, do you think you should change your leadership style? No.
No.
I mean, if it's winning, keep going.
Stick with what you know.
Exactly. If it ain't broke, why fix it? Interesting. Very interesting. As I said, not party lines necessarily for me, though I'm not a big fan of the Conservative Party currently. I certainly have no problems with lots of Conservative MPs, I think, that are okay. Like, even like our Conservative MP here in our riding is John Nader, and he's a dude, he's a good dude, you know? Like, he got elected, and it's like, well, I didn't vote for you, but yeah, you'll be all right. You'll do fine. Moving on to June. The flowery rebirth of summer.
The blooming.
I gotta stop saying rebirth.
The blooming.
The One Canadian Economy agenda sets internal trade as a national priority. In light of Donald Trump's 51st state, annexation talks, again, all the nation building was in full force, and people wanted a plan. They looked to the government to say, what are we doing? And a lot of people were also saying, you know, let's look elsewhere. Let's look to Europe. We can't rely on the U.S. anymore, because they're incredibly volatile at the moment. And their word really is meaning less and less every day. So what do we do? How do we get this going? And I think that was at the time they were also talking about breaking down like the trade barriers between provinces, which up until that point, I hadn't fully clocked into that was the thing.
Right?
It's like, what the hell's that?
Like, it makes such sense. How did we not do this before? Right?
Yeah.
I
remember I used to, I mean, if I'd be working or something in Vancouver and I'd be there for a little bit of time and I would get bottles of wine and I'd be like, this is an amazing bottle of wine. I'm going to send this back to Shannon and say, get some of this bottle of wine for when I get back. And she's like, you can't get it in Ontario. It's like, what? Why? It's so dumb.
Again, we have existed for such a long time. Why has nobody thought of that?
I know. So I'm glad. I'm glad that sort of pushed forward that idea of like, I mean, we should be our own best customer because we are a big country and we have, you know, lots of potential for manufacturing and industry and of all sorts. And we should just be investing in ourselves. Invest in yourself, Canada.
Except
that's what I say.
It comes to pipe.
Pipelines aren't great.
Now, if they had wine in them.
If they had wine pipelines. Oh, no, there's a great pipeline burst. Whereabouts? Bring a glass.
Bring a straw.
Bring a straw, exactly. Moving on to July. I have nothing to say about July. It's just
a hot rebirth.
God, let's just...
You started it.
I know, but you're running with it.
Well, yeah.
July of 2025, Ontario and Alberta signed a procurement and retail memorandum of understanding to formalize cooperation and on procurement retail rules, part of the broader political push to lower internal barriers and team up economically. That was kind of like, obviously, a part of the provincial trade and all that kind of stuff. But I remember at the time thinking to myself, I don't know if I like Doug Ford talking to Danielle Smith. That makes me feel a little itchy.
It's drunk uncle and racist aunt. Family reunion, right?
It made me feel weird. Did you get any sort of vibe from that at all?
Well, I mean, I think they have an odd relationship.
Yeah.
I don't think they like each other. Because they think, well, you know, Ford's a conservative, but he's not a Danielle Smith conservative. You know, he's bad, but he's not Danielle Smith bad. And so I think they're the two at the table that sort of tolerate each other but talk shit behind their backs.
Yeah. Which I think I'm okay with that style of relationship. I just don't like particularly those two characters. I feel they're not good for each other. They're kind of like a couple that get together in high school and you're like, oh no, they shouldn't be dating. They right? should not be dating.
I know.
One of them's going to end up smoking. They're going to end up drinking apple schnapps or something.
Apple schnapps.
Cherry whiskey before the school dance.
And barfing in the corner.
Yeah.
I mean, they have to work together, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's like all those premier meetings and everything and talks and this and that. It's a necessity. And I'm sure that everybody sitting at the table, not everybody gets along. I just picture Wob sitting there just smiling, right? Just looking around, just happy to be there, right? But I think, you know, having two conservatives on the opposite spectrum of conservatism is interesting. Like, I just wonder what those conversations were like.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, to their mutual credit, I think they both genuinely want what they think is best for the provinces. I think that they're... And well, yeah, I think there's maybe some personal payoffs happening for sure, or some personal benefits, we'll say. Mm-hmm.
Perks of the job.
Perks of the job that you can imagine that might be happening, maybe. Yeah. But I do think there's kind of, it's that road to hell is paved with good intentions idea. Like, I do genuinely think, oh, well, I think that Doug Ford would kind of do what's best for Ontario when pushed to the edge and exhausted all other options. As we found out, during the pandemic, the situation was much a case of public outcry, and then he changed his course. And that's been indicative of his leadership.
Yeah, his daughter's questionable, and I know you can't change your family, but like, come on, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the other thing. But then again, I have Danielle Smith, so his daughter looks like an angel compared to what I have.
Well, I wonder if Danielle Smith likes me. Do you think she likes me? I doubt it.
I'm always curious.
I know, because sometimes they find these kind of things funny, right?
Oh, she doesn't find this funny. I can guarantee you. She hates me. I know she hates me, and that's fine. I'm good with it. It's an honor.
So her and I would have been friends if it weren't for you. Got it.
I think she would put up with you because you're...
I don't know if that seems insulting. Go on.
No. But like, if there was like a soiree thing, right? I think she would absolutely... chat with you.
She's swa?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Because you're a celebrity, right?
Oh, I like where this is going.
He's still looking at me perked up a little bit. He's like, tell me more about myself and how fabulous I am.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but you have a celebrity, right? Like, that's
right. There's some value there.
I'm just an Albertan.
But I disagree. I think you've got, I don't want to turn this into a ego pumping session.
Oh, it's okay when it's for you, but
exactly. That's just affirmation, and just telling the truth. That's what we're here for.
Of course.
But no, I think you underestimate your celebrity. I think that you're quite a notable figure.
Perhaps.
I think it probably makes you uncomfortable.
It totally makes me uncomfortable. Yeah. Mm.
Well, get used to it.
I know, and I appreciate anybody that comes up to me and says things to me, but. I've always wondered. I always wondered, like, does Danny know? Does Danny hear what I have to say? Yeah. I'm 100% sure she does.
Hi, Dan.
Hi, Dan.
The country's too small, of course.
Six degrees.
Let's move on to August. And something terrible happened in August. Pierre Poilievre returned to Parliament via Alberta by-election. Battle River Crowfoot, is that right?
Uh-huh.
And he won that election after it was given up. The seat was given up for the by-election. And it got him back in the House of Commons. So, I mean...
we knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's fine. The fact that he had to wait outside of Parliament for that long made me happy, right?
It was pretty funny.
Peeking behind the bushes.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, we knew it was going to happen. And I mean, you know, the seat was... absolutely given up voluntarily with no ulterior motive of a career for whatever his name is. I don't even remember now. So that Pierre could hopefully run a good campaign and be successful at getting a seat. Yeah. Nothing shady there at all.
No, I am. There was a moment in August where during that by-election where I thought to myself, the funniest thing could happen.
I know.
But then I realized even if he wins, what's even funnier is if he wins and then in his upcoming leadership review does not come across favorably and ends up looting the leadership of the conservatives, then he's just the MP from Battle River Crowfoot, which is nothing wrong with that. Unless you're Pierre Poilievre.
Unless you're Pierre Poilievre. I'm curious as to how many times he's been back.
Think he's spending Christmas there?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Right? He's down at the Legion having a Christmas party for all of his constituents and handing out presents.
Yeah.
Anna's there, you know, in her little Jingle Bell outfit.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Dedicated public servant.
100%. Absolutely. Yeah.
Move on to September. September 2025, Alberta's Fairness and Safety in Sport Act takes effect. Alberta's transgender-related sports restrictions become enforceable, triggering national controversy and institutional fallout. So September, it was put forward. Was it made effective in September?
No.
No, it was just put forward.
The bill was put forward.
Put forward. That, I felt, was a real low point. That seemed like a very America's got acid wash genes. We should have acid wash genes too. It was a very much a Trumpy type of thing to do, I thought.
Well, that's who we have. If the spring was the rebirth, then the fall in Alberta was definitely what?
I didn't know what you're gonna say, but I was concerned.
Like a giant compost that.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, no, I thought that was a bit of a down point in the year for Canada, because I thought to myself, this is very much a case of, like I said, a very Trump style thing of picking an adversary, a scapegoat for people's troubles and the way that they're not happy with the world right now. They're like, well, they're not happy with their lives, and saying, well, you know, who's part of the problem is transgender people and that they're part of the problem. What we need to do is target them, only doing that for the pure reason that there's such a small community of people and such a vulnerable community of people that they're not going to punch back. Even if they try to punch back, it's going to be ineffective. And I hate that. I despise it so much.
Well, that's the bully mentality. I mean, and to be fair, they did it to the disability community too here. I think that's part of it, is that we're going to take something that for them is controversial. I don't know why people existing is controversial. Impose our religious dogma onto it. Talk about safety, because obviously people are a danger, and then pass bills to protect girls. It's icky. It's just icky.
Yeah, it's not great.
To be expected. And I don't think they thought that there was that, because it's such a small percentage of the population, that they would have, like you said, they wouldn't be able to punch back. But I think the community has, like, the entire community, right, has come to their defense.
I think those types of moves by politicians greatly underestimate one of the core tenets of being Canadian, which is you don't punch down. Mm-hmm. You just don't do that. It's just what you do is you help people up.
Yeah.
You might punch people on the same level, you know, in a hockey fight or at the bar.
Yeah.
Exactly. But you've got to be at the same level. You even see, like, young guys at bars late at night, and it's like, if one guy is not a good match for the other guy, everyone around's like, no, we're not doing this.
Don't do it, man. Yeah, exactly.
We're not doing this.
If you are the same. It's not cool.
Yeah, it's not cool. No. Exactly. It's just not cool. It's not Canadian. I don't like it at all. October 2025, Carney met again with Trump for the second time in the Oval Office. And by this point in the year, I was thinking, why? Why bother? I mean, I know you have to.
Yeah.
As an adult, I realize there's responsibilities, and as understanding a little bit of politics, it's like you do have to play this game. You do have to grin and bear it sometimes, for sure. But at the same time, it was just I didn't even pay attention to that second meeting. First meeting, I paid attention to. Second meeting, I didn't.
Well, the first one was like, we have to kind of see what's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
And it's been interesting to see, and I know it doesn't mean anything, how initially, you know, the blob is all bravado and this and that, and talking down to Carney, right? Like in the first one. But now he's sort of changed. It's almost like he was flirting with Carney. Like, you know,
yeah.
it was weird. It was just weird. Doesn't change anything. Still negative impacts on our economy and other things. But it's been a weird sort of dynamic. I think the blob is actually quite scared of Carney. And because of that, a bully is going to bully more, right?
I got that same vibe from the first meeting a lot. I thought to myself, why is he being so timid in front of Carney? Like, this is so, this is so weird. He was being, he was, you know, being effusive and being very polite and cordial and charming and all that kind of stuff.
And touching him. And...
Yeah, touching him and all that kind of stuff. And it was just like, what's going on? Like, does Carney have the dirt? Does Carney have the dirt here with this? And he just doesn't want to overplay his hand, but he wants Trump to know that he's got the dirt.
Like, I feel like there's history. Like, Carney's been around, right? Yeah. Like, he's been around. He knows stuff. And so maybe there's a little bit of history. Maybe Trump forgot that they were at a party somewhere at some point, sometime. And like,
yeah, things were said, things were done.
Right. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But also too, Carney's smarter than Trump.
A million percent.
Right. So I think there's that, but that's why I think he puffs up so much. It's like, he's got to be the big, literally the bigger man, right?
Yeah.
'Cause the bigger man is the better man kind of thing.
Yeah.
So.
I think, you know, Carney's got his faults and his flaws for sure, but you're right. I do feel the two, between the two, Carney is much more intelligent and much more savvy, I think, than Trump is. I think Trump's very much a bluster-based type of personality. That meeting with Carney in the Oval Office, also just as a note, I believe was the Oval Office press gathering where a pal of mine, Mike LeCouture, who works for CTV News Channel, and is the probably has an actual Washington correspondent or something like that. I think that's Abigail Binman. I can't remember. Anyway, he's got some sort of title. He's just Mike to me.
He's just your buddy.
But he got a lot of press because he yelled out a question at the end, which got a laugh out of both Carney and Trump. And I said to him afterwards, I said to Mike, "Hey, I saw your thing on the Oval Office. That was pretty cool. What was it like being there?" And his response was, "I've been in the Oval Office 3 times. I was like, calm down, Mike.
Peasant.
You're cool. We've established that.
We know. You can go to places we can't.
Mike's a good dude. November. A couple of important things happened. My birthday happened in November. And Canada and Alberta. The wording of that just gets me in the, the throat, man. Canada and Alberta, two disparate nations, signed a memorandum of understanding to lock in cooperation framework for things like big ticket energy and industrial ambitions. And it became a bit of a hot topic because people thought that Carney had kind of given away the farm and everyone thought that Danielle Smith had given away the farm on her side. And she got booed, didn't she, at the UCP thing? She brought it up.
Yeah, and I mean, people are like, "Oh, she didn't get booed." The whole like Canada Alberta thing got booed. I think bitch got booed. Like, let's be real, she did.
Yeah.
But it was funny because again, depending on what side you're on, people are like, you know, Carney caved, and then it was like Danny caved, but people don't know how to read, and so it's a nothing burger. Like, it's really just it's. The equivalent of writing things on a napkin.
Yeah, it's like, maybe we'll do this.
We're thinking maybe, you know, this could happen, but like 75,000 things have to happen first before
that,
aligns.
Yeah. And if the stars align, maybe we'll do this.
I think Carney played her. I really do.
I'm not a fan of pipelines, et cetera, such like that, but I do understand there's from a industry perspective, economic perspective, is like there's a reason to find a way to get our resources to market.
Sure.
I don't know how to do that the best way because I'm not a guy who does that. But thank God. Can you imagine if I just got that job?
A pipeline builder guy?
I'm white, middle-aged, and straight. I could just fail up into that job.
You'd be boss man in no time.
Exactly. I'd be a foreman. I'd be like, let's put the pipeline here.
The white hat guys. Yeah.
Is that Calgary? Doesn't matter.
Can we go through the mountain?
Exactly. Just go through. Just go straight through. Mm-hmm. We have tools for that, don't we? But I think that the memorandum of understanding wasn't necessarily him playing Danielle Smith, but I felt it was more a case of like, if we don't have any better ideas, we'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully there's going to be better ideas.
Yeah.
My understanding. And then right up to December, this very month that we're in right now, there's going to be a formal CUSMA review, or as the Americans call it, USMCA review. Talks announced for mid-January. And I saw a headline recently that said, Carney said there's going to be no tariff relief before the CUSMA discussions, CUSMA negotiated. And I thought, there's going to be no tariff relief, period.
Well, yeah, that gives some sort of false hope, doesn't it?
So. Yeah. Like the idea that I can't even fathom, I can't even piece together in my imagination a scenario in which Carney and Sheinbaum and Trump get together and negotiate a new CUSMA agreement and everyone signs off and Trump's like, yep, this is good. We're going to stick with this. I just don't see that happening.
No, I don't see it happening in the spirit of what's supposed to happen. But do you feel or think that there's been negative impact to the American economy and, more importantly, Americans? And maybe he's thinking, I need to garner a little bit more favor.
Trump is, do you think?
Yeah.
Do I think that? I think that I don't know necessarily if he's that cognizant of that kind of stuff. I think his recent telecasted speech was just a rant where he was a little hyper. It was just bizarre. I'm pretty great. And look at all these great things I did. Listen, if you can't afford stuff, just pretend you can.
Right.
So I think Canada's best hope is that he is going to be, the negotiations come up and Trump is going to be distracted by something else. And they will get negotiated almost like without him realizing.
Like bring him a toy, a little slinky in the corner, right?
Yeah.
Keep him happy.
Or,
yeah.
Or maybe some files get released, you know?
Isn't the clock ticking on that? Isn't that supposed to happen soon?
The clock is, by the time this episode goes out, that, yeah, we should have all the information. I'm sure it'll happen just like that as well. But yeah, no, I think our best chance is if he's distracted by something. And I shudder to think what that distraction might be. Best case scenario, it's the Epstein files.
Mm-hmm.
It caused him, let's put a bit of a spoke in his wheels. A spoke in his wheels? No, put a bit of a stick in his spokes. There you go. I had to get my bicycle
spokes
analogy.
Spokes and sticks and pikes. Like, what is wrong with you today?
I know. Rebirth, everything. It's all happening. I feel that's our best chance, though, is that something's going to trip him up or something's going to distract him so much. But I do, I'm worried as to what that's going to be. Like, is it going to be war with Venezuela, which I think is a horrendous idea, obviously. Or is it going to be something else just as awful? But I do think he's, you know, he's very much easily distracted. So.
Well, the one thing I've learned is that you can't ever guess what's going to happen in the future. You can't say things like it can't get any worse than this. So it'll keep us on our toes if nothing else.
Well, we'll come back to some predictions before we finish up the show. But let's move on to that was the year in review. That wasn't a comprehensive list, as I said at the beginning, but it was a list.
Mm-hmm. So. It was 12 things.
It was 12 things.
That we talked about.
We talked about, and isn't that good enough for you? Let's do the, just some quotes here from the past year. The 12 quotes of Christmas in Canada. There you go. That's what I'm calling it. The 12 quotes of Christmas. Christmas.
Got to trademark the Christmas.
Well, you did give it over to me.
I did. That's what I'm saying. You need to trademark it.
Is a lower back tattoo enough?
Along with all your other lower back tattoos.
It starts at my shoulder blades, basically, okay. So it goes right down. Just keep
nobody steal it, because I don't want him to have to get the tattoo removal. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Mark Carney on Canadian sovereignty in his first press conference as Prime Minister said, "We will never, ever, in any way, shape, or form, be a part of the United States." And I thought, that was a banger of a quote for his first thing, his first press conference. I thought that was exactly what the nation needed to hear.
Did he do it like that?
I don't know if he did that or not. Or if he did, he does do this, doesn't he? All politicians, you're not supposed to point.
Yeah.
I like a good point.
Sometimes a point is necessary, right? You're the problem.
Yeah, you were the problem. But then also I'm trying to think of other uses that would be appropriate for a point, but I can't think of.
Imagine all the training you have to go through. Like diplomacy training of like,
oh my God,
don't give them. Yeah. Okay.
They'd have to tape my finger down. They'd have to tape your middle finger down.
Yeah. They'd have to. Yeah.
Yeah. Mark Carney responded to the idea that Canada could become a U.S. state when asked about comments from American politicians. Crazy. His point is crazy. That's it. He was responding to Marco Rubio's comments about Canada joining the U.S. and being kind of like, why wouldn't you guys want to join us?
Or just Rubio in general.
Yeah. Another Mark Carney quote regarding this whole thing, because a big thing that occupied a lot of our brain space this year was the whole 51st state annexation talk. For a lot of people, were unaware of it, frighteningly. The majority of Americans were unaware and didn't care.
Oh.
But there was lots of Canadians who I've talked to who were like, oh, is that what's happening? It's like, oh, good Lord, there's a madman in charge of the country right below us, and he wants to take over our house.
He's trying to break into our house.
Yes. It's like the guy, it's like ignoring your neighbor next door, and he's been cutting holes in the fence, and it's
just
too much.
Peeking over a little too much.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What kind of grass you got there? Yeah. It's a nice barbecue.
Sure would be a shame if someone took it.
Yeah. Can I come over? Never mind. I'm coming over anyway. Carney said, we are facing the most significant crisis of our lifetimes. President Trump claims that Canada isn't a real country. Do you remember that?
Yeah. God. Again, so long ago, yet so fresh in our memories.
I know.
Yeah.
He wants to break us so America can own us. We will not let that happen. When you think about, this is the thing that drives me a little bit crazy. And when you think about, as you said, it seems like so long ago, but it's not that long ago. But also, it's amazing how quickly we downplayed a lot of that talk.
Mm-hmm.
Like that kind of talk from a prime minister is terrifying.
It was surreal. And I think that's the problem. Like nobody has ever said those things before, right? It's like, we're just our little neighbor and, you know, we thought we had it okay. And you're talking about some pretty serious stuff. I think it's like that, you get that rush, right, of adrenaline. And then once the threat is gone, not gone, but it's moved on to something else, then you kind of have that like, right? And I think he did a lot of sighing and having to sit back down.
There's a lot of self-care that needed to be practiced this year, for sure. Mm-hmm. That was kind of the theme of this year, self-care as a Canadian. This isn't a particularly interesting quote, but it is a setup for other stuff. It sounds like the Prime Minister and the President had a very productive meeting. Hopefully, we'll be able to rekindle our great relationship. That was Doug Ford talking about Carney and Trump meeting together.
He went on an emotional roller coaster. Ford? Yeah. Like hating him, then not hating, like Trump. Hating him, not hating him. Flexing.
He said he would vote Trump if he was an American. I remember that quite vividly, and everyone like, what? And then it kind of was like, I guess so, maybe. But then it was kind of like a realization, which is scary, I think, as well, when you see politicians, and you're like, do the politicians not read the news? Do they not follow the news at all? Like, are they unaware?
I don't think they do.
Really?
I don't think they do. They're busy making the news. They don't have time to read the news.
Hmm. It's like when they asked the speaker, the U.S. speaker, Mike Johnson, have you seen this? He's like, I haven't seen the news yet. And it's like, you are the news, buddy.
Again, I think they're too busy doing things, rightly or wrongly, and to actually sit back and read the news.
You're always so quick to defend the politicians.
I'm not. How is that defending the politicians? They're the ones fucking everything up. That's why we have to exist. I would like no news to happen. I could have a nap every once in a while.
I just wanted to see if I can increase your volume a little bit, and it worked.
So that's good.
Dear. Can you guess who said this? We are pleased to see that CUSMA-compliant goods remain tariff-free. That said, it's also disappointing to see tariffs on other Canadian goods increase to 35%. Any guesses who said that?
I don't know.
Danielle Smith.
Oh.
Said that. That sounds politician.
You said it in a voice I did not recognize.
Yeah.
You should have said.
It was also very hopeful. There's CUSMA compliant goods remain tariff-free. Like there was some semblance of sanity to the U.S.
Had she just gotten back from Mar-a-Lago when she said
probably,
that?
Probably.
Yeah, exactly. She's probably still roofied.
Doug Ford said, Canada will not bow down to a bully, which is
irony.
There's a lot. Yeah. Oh, dear. I said bully, not Billy.
Oh.
Next quote. So Trump built a wall, but it's a wall targeting us. Trump's tariff tax is an attack on Canada and who we are. Any guesses who said that?
Is that Pierre?
No, that was Wob Kanu, Premier Wob Kanu.
Oh, Wob.
Unifor National President Lana Payne. We will never forget this act of hostility against our workers. This is a good reminder of like how betrayed Canada felt.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I said recently in another show, another episode, that talking to an American radio host, political radio host, and saying the big thing I feel Americans don't understand is a sense of betrayal. This idea that we thought things were cool,
mm-hmm.
but not, apparently.
Yeah. Like, really not cool.
Really not cool, exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Point further here by Prime Minister Carney saying, our old relationship with the United States, a system that Canada has relied on since the Second World War, is over.
It's menacing, eh? Like, it's just like this heavy, these sound like quotes that we will read about in the future.
They
right?
sound like, yeah. and I don't want to suggest that we're, you know, as was it Mark Twain who said, history doesn't repeat itself, but it does rhyme.
Mm.
But they sound very like 1920s, 1930s type quotes, politician quotes.
Right.
For sure. They sound like everyone's saber rattling a little bit, which I hate. I hate that.
That's why it's hard to tell who said what, because they all
I know, exactly. We'll see if you can guess who this said this one. To my fellow conservatives, we have much to celebrate tonight, yet we know that change is needed. But change is hard to come by. It takes time.
Well, that has to be Pierre.
Yeah. I love it.
It was lack of insight.
It's such a great, it's like, I mean, if I offer him any sympathy, I think that would have been the worst position to be in. You've lost your seat. You're still technically the leader of the Conservative Party. You have to address the Conservative Party in the riding where you lost your seat and then say the fantastic, yet we know the change is needed.
But the change isn't me.
Change isn't me, obviously.
Change isn't me, no.
It's the Simpsons gif again. It's like, it's not me. It's as Skinner is saying, it's not me who is wrong. It's the children.
It's really hard for me because generally, as much as I criticize and critique, like I am an empath at heart.
Mm.
But like, he deserves all the bad things. Like, he is a bad man. I know he's a father and a husband and
sure.
whatever, and I don't want anything to happen to his family.
No, absolutely
but
not.
But he is a bad man in a job that he should not have.
I think he's just in the wrong line of work.
What line of work, should that be a prediction? What line of work do you think Pierre would be good at? All the jobs, careers, what would he be good at?
That is a tough question. I'm going to say, I think, honestly, if I give in, I was trying to think of a joke
don't
answer.
You point but your finger at me.
sorry, I'll do my thumb. Honestly, I think that... I was going to give a joke answer, but I'll give a real answer. I think he would be an excellent political analyst for Globe Mail, National Post, whatever. I really do.
You don't think there would be too much bias there?
Oh, I think there'd be some bias for sure. But I think, honestly, he loves politics. Like, he loves the political mm-hmm. game a lot. And I think he knows a lot about the political game. I think his problem is that it's really hard to get your nose back from the canvas a bit when it's you. When you're the one that is, you're promoting, you're the one mm-hmm. that's running, you're the one that's playing the game and you're trying to decipher the game. I think it separated from the game. Mm-hmm. I think he'd be an excellent political analyst. I wouldn't agree with him all the time. Absolutely not. But I feel he knows the game inside and out.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah. You, what do you think?
I mean, again, there's joke answers. There's so many of them, but, I think he would be a great lobbyist.
Yeah.
You don't think he'd be a good lobbyist?
I don't. I think there's a little bit of humility that a successful lobbyist have to have. At least that's my impression, rather.
Conservative ones.
Well, I mean, I talked to a lobbyist for the first time in my life who admitted he was a lobbyist. He said, my name is so-and-so. I'm a lobbyist, but I tell my mother I play piano in a strip club. I was like, that's a good line.
I think he would be proud. He'd be like Danielle Smith, proud lobbyist.
Mm, maybe, right? Yeah.
Because like he's a salesman at heart. Like really,
mm-hmm.
like he tries to sell things. And I think that's what, you know, depending on what you're lobbying for, I think that's what you need. Somebody that is not going to back down, is not going to view fault and just keep going. Anyway.
Who? I guess maybe we'll find out what his next job is soon enough. We'll see. Okay. I'm extremely disappointed that President Trump has chosen to walk away from a trading relationship that for decades has made life better for millions of workers on both sides of the border. That was Premier Doug Ford talking about U.S. tariff decisions. So that was, again, just to talk about the rhetoric that was being, and I use rhetoric in the broad definition of just like stuff people said. Indication of the rhetoric that was this past year that was easy to dismiss. I was like, oh, that's a bit over the top. And then you realize, oh no, they were all saying it.
Yeah.
Which is scary.
Yeah.
They know, hopefully know more than I do. I'm guaranteeing you they know more than I do. Except when it comes to the news. I am disappointed with U.S. President Donald Trump's decision to place tariffs on all Canadian goods. Any guesses?
Oh, it could be so many. I don't know.
Premier Danielle Smith. So those are your 12 quotes of crisis missing Canada. But listen, we're not going to end with the quotes there. We're going to just do a quick game.
Okay.
Just to lighten the mood a little bit. Okay? And I think you're going to enjoy this game.
Okay.
You're really good. It's called Folks or Fiction.
Oh, I'm very
You like it already?
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
The rules are very simple. You're playing against yourself. It's for personal bests here. That's what we're all about at Politics is Broken. It's personal bests.
Buy myself a present. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, you can if you want. The rules are simple. I'll give you a quote. You have to guess if it was said by Ontario Premier Doug Ford during 2025 or by a fictional character.
Okay.
Okay? You ready for the first quote?
Okay.
First quote. This guy will say something one day and he'll wake up and the cheese slips off the cracker. Then all of a sudden he goes the other way. Was that A, Doug Ford, B, Ricky from Trailer Park Boys, or Mayor Quimby from The Simpsons, C?
That was Ford.
You got it. You got it. That's good.
He's trying to make that cheese off a cracker thing happen.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not going to happen, Doug, but rebirth is. Sorry, go ahead.
He was using that in August of 2025 to describe Trump's unpredictability regarding Canadian tariffs. It's now since become his go-to phrase for losing one's mind. I heard it on television the other day as well. I was like, is it a saying? Do people actually use it?
I think it's like a 1930s, like, cheese slipped off the cracker, eh?
Hey,
that's very much
extra,
what it is.
Extra, extra, the cheese slipped off the cracker. Next quote, you ready?
Okay.
Cleanse your mind. Here goes. Mm-hmm. I don't give them 25 years. I send them right to Sparky, and then we'll take everything from there. Was that A, Doug Ford, B, King Joffrey from Game of Thrones, or C, the Joker, the Dark Knight?
C.
That was Doug Ford.
Was not.
Unbelievably, this was Doug Ford at a police gala in January 2025. He was joking about the death penalty, and that caused a massive provincial stir.
That's what Sparky was about?
I don't even give them 25 years. I send them right to Sparky, and then we'll take everything from there.
Oh, no. How did I miss that one?
I told you you'd enjoy this.
For shame, Ontario. Okay, next.
Here it goes. Here it goes. Here goes the quote.
Uh-oh.
It's a long one. I'm not the thief. The government is. Every year you make hardworking Joes pay income taxes for what? Aid to ungrateful foreigners, do-nothing nuclear missiles, and tomb polish for some unknown soldier. Was that A, Doug Ford, B, Mr. Burns from The Simpsons, or C, Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec?
C.
Incorrect. It was Mr. Burns.
Oh, me.
It is. Ron Swanson would never say that. Ron Swanson is he's a good American.
I know, but just the flair of it.
Way Next to go. Quote. Are you ready?
Okay.
Here it goes.
I'm not doing well.
I think I was pretty clear. I said I was, and then I wasn't. And then I went ahead and did it. Was that A, Doug Ford, B, Selena Meyer from Veep, or C, Michael Scott from The Office? Do you want me to read the quote again?
Sure.
I think I was pretty clear. I said I was, then I wasn't. Then I went ahead and did it.
Michael Scott?
Incorrect. It is Doug Ford.
I was going to say Duggo.
That was his actual defense for his confusing multi-year saga regarding whether or not he would build on the Greenbelt in Ontario. Here's an easier one for you. You ready? Canada is not for sale, and Canada will never be the 51st state. Was that A, Doug Ford, B, Captain Canuck, or C, a character from a 2025 Louise Penny novel?
Doug.
You are correct. Doug-o. Good for you. That was. I gotta make a note here, so I keep track of your points.
Oh God, the point system again.
Yeah, there it goes. Next quote. We're halfway through. Is
everyone still there?
I'll speed it up. Here we go. It's not rip and ship. Rip and ship is when you get the minerals out and throw them on a boat. We're going to do things differently. A, Doug Ford. B, Ricky from Trailer Park Boys. Or C, Tony Soprano from The Sopranos.
Tony.
A, Doug Ford.
It's the same thing.
Next quote. If he didn't comment on it, rather than 12.4 billion views, it might be 12.4 people viewing it. Was that A, Doug Ford, B, Selena Meyer, C, Joe Bluth from Arrested Development?
Selena Meyer?
Incorrect. Doug Ford, referring to his social media piece using Reagan. Got 12.4 billion views.
Yes.
Yeah. And he was crediting Trump with drawing some attention to it. Here's the next quote. They tell me they barely get fruit, and when it comes, it's frozen. Just imagine what they're going through. Was it A, Doug Ford, B, Lucille Bluth from Arrested Development, or C, Jack Donaghy? Donaghy, sorry, from 30 Rock.
Doug?
You're correct.
I'm sensing a pattern.
Give you that one. I'm not your boss. The people of your riding are your boss. I just happen to be the guy who tells you what the people want you to do. A, Doug Ford, B, Michael Scott, C, Leslie Knope from Parks and Rec.
C.
Incorrect, it's Doug Ford. He used that circular logic during the February 2025 leaders' debate to explain his management style within the PC party. Next quote. We're not just neighbors, we're family. But sometimes family needs to tell the other family member to stop touching their stuff. Was it A, Doug Ford, B, Ted Lasso, or C, Phil Dunphy from Modern Family?
Dunphy.
Incorrect. It's Ted Lasso. We're almost done. Two more.
My points are not good this round.
Okay. No. It's going to work out in your favor, so don't worry. Next quote. Every one of them, first thing they want to do, they want to go to Darlington and see how we're moving forward with the small modular reactions. Was that A, Doug Ford, B, Montgomery Burns, or C, Dr. Strangelove?
Burn.
Oh, come on. Darlington? That's incorrect. Doug Ford is the correct answer. Last one.
Get
ready.
It sounded like a made-up Simpsons place. What the hell do I know? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, that's been our lives in Ontario. Here goes. Last quote. How does it jump up overnight? It goes from $1.10, and 3 days later, it's $1.37. It's like the gas pump has a mind of its own, and it's out to get us. Is that A, Doug Ford, B, Cosmo Kramer from Seinfeld, or C, Homer Simpson from The Simpsons?
Ford.
Correct.
Ding, ding, ding.
That was at the 2025 Growth Summit, performing what many called his gas pump stand-up routine. So let's see, you got one.
I think I got two, didn't I?
Two. Three.
Oh my God.
Four. You got four. And if, according to the rules here, if you got 0 to 5 right, you are a normal functioning human being who doesn't track cheese and cracker metaphors. So congratulations.
Oh, yay me.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
There you go. So good for you. So right before we finish off, just some quick predictions. What do we think is going to happen in the world of Canadian politics in 2026?
I feel that there's going to be an election in Alberta in 2026.
You think so because of the recalls?
I just think everything that's going on, I think she's going to be in a position to have to call an election.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I think my prediction is that the Conservative Party of Canada fractures and a new party will pop up that's going to be essentially a Conservative Party. It's going to essentially be a Progressive Conservative Party. It's going to pop up.
We're going to go back to like Reform and Progressive Conservative?
Yeah.
With different names.
That's what I feel it's going to be. Maybe they can use that acronym CRIP again. conservatives really are positive.
Performative, yeah.
Performative. Well, listen, Lisa, it's been a great year. Thank you so much for doing this show with me. You're always insightful.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, been fun. Thanks for laughing at my jokes.
All the time.
Thanks for, less thanks for just laughing at me.
We did it. We made it through the year.
We did it. Another year.
It was questionable at times, but we did it.
It was. We started, as we look back, we started off, of course, with Steve Boots, and Steve Boots left us at the end of August, and I think the show's just gotten better, so.
Well, that's, he's not going to watch this, so yeah, absolutely. No, good riddance, Boots.
Exactly, yeah. Boots. With all your details and facts.
Logic and shit, whatever.
Exactly. People don't want that.
We're relatable, people.
Exactly. We're like regular idiots.
That's right.
Anyway, hey, listen, everyone. Thanks so much for watching and or listening to Politics is Broken for 2025 and this episode specifically. But all of them, just all of them in general. Again, you can find us, of course, on your favorite podcasting platform. Make sure that you like, subscribe, follow, all that kind of thing. And thanks for being a paid subscriber. What else am I thanking you for? Anything else?
I don't know, just being around and putting up with us. And I hope everybody has a lovely end of year and holiday season, and we'll see what 2026 brings.
Yeah, take a break. Take a break, and then just don't give up news entirely. Just and don't rely on us for your news in 2026. That's my one hope for 2026, is that you don't rely on us for news.
And don't turn your gas car on in your garage.
Gas car is a weird thing to say. It's got a real sort of Russian as a first language feel to it.
One might say, right? These are the comments I get. Anyway. Thanks, Anonymous.
What a great ender. Thanks, everyone. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, all that kind of stuff. Take care of each other, and we'll see you in 2026.
Happy holidays, everybody.
You've been listening to Politics is Broken with Brittle Star and Lisa B. Remember to like, follow, subscribe, and comment. And don't forget to check out riddlestar.com for more.